Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and I will be joined again by Danny Baker. Say every week, if you want to come on the podcast, then get in contact, send us a message, Twitter, Facebook. If you've got me on the socials, then do it as well. We'll have anyone on, any opinion, and we'd love to chat anything Wimbledon. But yeah, so let me introduce Danny Baker. How are we? Good?
I'm absolutely marvellous, mate. Yeah, really good week, actually. It's been nice to feel quite positive about, I know we're going to come to it, but the Tuesday was felt like a really, really positive bit. But anyway, more importantly, World Cup squad. Happy with it?
I am. Yeah, I'm okay with it. Again, it's weird. 2 weeks to the World Cup, and no one seems up for it. Like, no one. There's nothing like, it's just a bit weird. No,
it is really flat, isn't it? I mean, maybe it's just me, but I mean, even at school, normally you've got the sticker albums and everyone's buzzing about when there are people playing and there's nothing at all.
I think it's because football's happening right now. So you've got the big teams all playing. We're playing. We'll be playing during the World Cup. Do you know what I mean? Where normally you have your summer and you think, right, there's no football. And brilliant. I can get down a pub, watch 4 games a day. Do you know what I mean? Where now it's like, it's just a bit weird. But the only one I'd have, and I said this to my mates, is Harry Maguire. I wouldn't have him in the team. I'd have Dan Byrne ahead of him.
What, you wouldn't have him in the squad?
No, he ain't been playing for Man U. When he has played for Man U, he's been appalling. Yeah. I know Gareth Southgate trusts him and he's played well for England. But, and in the last tournament, I think he was in the team of the tournament. But he has been horrendous for the last few games. So I wouldn't have him at all.
I mean, what's interesting, mate, is that normally it used to be 23, didn't it? It used to have two 11s and a spare keeper. It's 26 now. And what I was quite surprised, Conor Gallagher's a huge surprise. I didn't see him, even envisage him getting close to it. I'm just surprised with 26, surely you pick 3 specialists. You pick a specialist penalty taker. You know, if he goes to penalties, Tony, he's the best penalty taker in the country, if not the world. You take him. You don't necessarily need to. I mean, Connor Cody is clearly not in our best centre-backs. He's going because he's old, he's experienced. He's got, apparently, he's probably similar to Gunter. Yeah. He's probably going for the same reason. He's old, bit of experience, can talk to the lads.
He's meant to be really good around the place as well.
Yeah, which so again,
if you're in a tournament, and again, it's different because obviously it's not, Qatar's not a great big country. You're not travelling for ages to get to different
stadiums.
You're
away from home, aren't you, for a while.
Yeah, and you need someone like that. And with centre-backs, as I said, you've got Harry Maguire, Stones, Cody. You haven't got loads at centre-back, to be fair. You know what I mean? So
he's taking Kyle Walker, which is good. It's also one of them things you used to always be like, right, who can play him? Like, he's obviously always, he loves Eric Dier, but obviously Eric Dier can play in hundreds of positions, all relatively average. But
see, the one you mentioned there, Tony, I don't, we were talking about this striker wise, like Abraham, he's not on great form. Yeah. People keep going, oh, you've got to take Abraham, you've got to take Tomori, but they don't watch Italian football, so you don't know how well they're doing.
And really, apparently, if you're taking the best one, Smalling, you take.
Abraham hasn't been setting the world of light in Italy at the moment this season. And Tony, he's kind of embroiled in this betting scandal at the moment that the FA are investigating. So maybe that's
the reason why. He is your best.
And I'd have Wilson over Tony.
Well, I think that was the conversation point. But I just feel like in a 26-man squad, you can pick 3 specialists. I'm glad Madison's gone. He's on form. He'd have got Muller if he didn't take him, and rightly so, he got picked. It's just a case of, for me, and the reality of it is, you're not really rotating more than 14 players here. Ben White's not going to get on the pitch. But Eric Dier shouldn't be. Connor Cody's not getting on the pitch. 2 keepers. I was just curious whether or not you take 3 keepers, or you just take 2, and then you can pay. You can pick a. I'd be tempted not. I wouldn't have taken Pope, and I'd have taken Tony, and I'd have had an extra forward, and I'd have him as a. Our goal scoring, it's a penalty shootout 5 minutes before Ivan Tony, you get on and get going.
The problem with the keepers wise is that I don't think it's ever happened, but can you imagine taking only 2 and one gets injured straight away in a warm up when you first arrive?
He walks
down the plane steps, falls over or something, and does himself. I mean, and then you've only got 1 keeper for the whole tournament.
I mean, the reality of it is that literally in a 26 man squad, there must be. You either take Conor Gallagher because you think, do you know what? We're going to get some experience in the lad and we'll take him with us, which if that's the case, fantastic. But there are a number of guys here who I'm looking through and I'm like, you shouldn't really get on the pitch.
I would have took Ward-Prowse over Gallagher.
Yeah, I like
Ward-Prowse. Again, because of what you're saying about the set-piece specialist.
Yeah.
So you're losing 1-0, you're 1-0 in a game and you think, right, need him on 15
Ward-Prowse
minutes.
Ward-Prowse on, Tony on, you can take corners.
See, Tony, you're pushing the Tony.
I'm pushing it massively. I'm I want to take a specialist.
Who's he going in though? That's the problem. And I know you're saying about.
Definitely wouldn't be taking. If you're keeping the three keepers and you're adamant on the three keepers, looking at the squad, I'm not taking Ben White because I don't see him getting on the pitch.
He's the best player in the Premiership at the moment.
No, but he's not going to get on the pitch, is he? I mean, he's genuinely not going to play.
He might do because he can play right back, and we've only got Trippier.
I wouldn't take Calvin Phillips.
I wouldn't take
Phillips. He's barely been fit.
No.
I wouldn't take him, and I would be amen and ahhing about Rashford, I think.
See, my ones would be Harry Maguire. I wouldn't take Phillips, and I wouldn't take Gallagher. I'd take Ward-Prowse.
Who would you put in then? You'd take Ward-Prowse and what?
But Dan Burn.
Dan Burn. Harry Maguire. Okay. All right. Interesting.
He can play left back as well.
And you wouldn't take
Phillips. I don't know midfield wise who I take, but yeah, Phillips. I don't know if he's done enough, but again, Gareth Southgate takes the players that he relies on.
So fair play to Gunter, right? 36. Another World Cup.
Mate, I don't care. I just care about the money we're going to receive from him. Apparently, it's $5,000 split between.
Yeah, because it's $10,000 split between.
Sorry, $10,000. So we get $5,000.
So we get $5,000 a day, which is all of a sudden, all of a sudden, oh my God, it's 180. It still covers.
If he's there for 2 weeks, I mean, it's a fair old man.
Well, they say it's going to be a minimum of 20 days. So that's 100K. It's a weird rule on the fact that it is a bit odd that you're basically giving Charlton free money. Like they're not losing. It's not a compensation, is it?
Well, they're not losing a player. I don't get
exactly
that.
I don't get it either.
And they've got about three players going out to internationals, I think. So
who Charlton have?
Yeah. So these teams, like, do you know what I mean? If like Wales and stuff, or some of the lower teams in there, you're getting some good. I said $100,000 for us now is brilliant. Hopefully that can go towards.
We
probably haven't budgeted for it. Do you know what I mean? Because of that we know about. As long as we fill in the paperwork properly, which I do worry about. But yeah, if we can fill in the paperwork properly and we can get $100,000 for him, hopefully that goes straight back into.
Hopefully it goes back in the squad. We never know. But anyway, what a typically Wimbledon week, mate.
Well, yeah. Orient saved, I think, again, Johnny Jackson's possible job again. Weymouth was abysmal. I didn't watch it. It weren't on any TV channel, so I listened to it on Radio Solent.
I did as well, yeah.
And
it sounded bad, didn't it? The second half in particular.
Yeah,
free
kick,
free kick.
It was just all them. But then I'm very obviously, what's it called, the word? I go straight away as soon as the game finishes. Very emotive. Is it emotive? I am.
You are quite emotive, yeah.
Very emotional about it. And I go straight away. And then I've chilled out a little bit, looked into it a little bit more, listened to some interviews. And the conditions down there were apparently really, really bad. So
they were, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think Weymouth played the conditions better. But people say, you both got to play the conditions. But I think that second half, when the wind was blowing into our faces, pouring down with rain, the pitch was cutting up, it weren't great to play on. Maybe a draw. And as Johnny Jackson said, if you look around the other results, do you know what I mean? Some big teams above us in the league, Lincoln's, Cheltenham's, not bigger than us, but higher than us in the league, were losing to a lower opposition. I was a bit disappointed with the performance, but you can get over it because of what happened on Tuesday. But yeah, I was disappointed in the performance because, as I said to you, I thought we'd win 6-1 because... But Weymouth are a horrendous team. They lost 3-2 the other day as well, and I think they were 3-0 down in that game.
It's a weird one because obviously, yes, yeah. There's again, Johnny Jackson spun it really, really well, and luckily with the FA Cup, you always get a couple of guys who slip up on stuff. The reality of it, though, is that in the whole of the second half, we didn't have a shot at goal.
Yeah.
And realistically speaking, from the comment again from one of our lads, Stato was there, and a few others, it looked like we were absolutely miles away. And that was a real concern. And again, it does continue to show, just like Tuesday did, that you know we are an inconsistent team. We're young. We've got things to learn. But when we get it right, we're good. And when we don't get it right, we're pony.
Well, what annoyed me, and I said this to Chris on the debrief, really, is that like huddling, everyone's thinking, right, we'll put Adlin in, probably a perfect game for him against a non-league team. Do you know what I mean? People say he's like conference level anyway, League Two, look like, do you know what I mean? So it's brilliant. Put Adlin in with Davison, get balls in the box, stuff. Weren't playing, weren't in the squad at all. We didn't get told beforehand that he wouldn't be. Do you know what I mean?
That must be January. They must be thinking about it.
Yeah, well, Huddersfield didn't give us
permission. They're bottom of the league. They're probably thinking we're going to have a look at it.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't get why we weren't allowed to know. And then I said to him, the problem you got, we big up such a massive, like Harrogate, we beat them 3-2, which we could have lost that game. We were horrendous in that game.
Yeah,
we win 3-2. It's a good 10 minutes. Everyone's excited. But we go overboard as Wimbledon fans.
And of course you do.
We got bucket loads of spirit being plastered all over Instagram. Nah. Do you know what I mean? I said
the
to him,
Harrogate game, we papered over a lot of cracks.
And he said, well, we're not meant to celebrate a win. I'm like, we are, but when we then go to Weymouth and draw one all and don't have a shot second half, you've got to have the backlash of where was this bucket loads of spirit? It was a bucket load of turd. Do you know what I mean?
So, unfortunately. But I mean, I guess like in many ways, like I said, it's opened up quite nicely on the fact that we've got a home draw. I was going to ask you about this. So they're saying that in order to balance the books on a home game, everyone's like, oh, it's the extra income. That's fantastic. We must be working at a deficit then for the Weymouth game. If you've got to give up half your gate receipts to the opposition.
I've said this to you before. FA Cup actually ain't that big money earner, I don't think. Because a lot of it goes into the players. I think they get bonuses. That was a few years ago. I don't know if that's still the case now. Also, you think when we played Tottenham, I don't think we made a lot out of the Tottenham game. Because
normally, isn't it that the game itself, they take all the takings. They then do all the expenses. And then after that, it's 45-45, isn't it?
We have
10% to the FA.
I think we have to pay for their expenses as well, Weymouth. We have to put them in a hotel. We have to pay for them to travel to the game. Because remember, I think it was something to do...
Wasn't there a non-league team who had to pay for some team?
Ipswich,
yeah, and they were coming, and they were like, what's the point? They played Bracknell
at Sandhurst. Yeah. Okay. And
they were literally like, well, that'll kill us.
Yeah, Ipswich were like, yeah, you got to pay for us to go in a hotel. And everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, Ipswich got a bit of money. Why are you? Yeah. So I think that's the case. Like, that's why I brought it up, because I'm sure I saw that last round. So we possibly have to put them in a hotel. Do you know what I mean? Even though probably most of their players live in London or local, they're going to, do you know what I mean? They're going to.
And even if not, by the time they come down, and again, if the thing is true around we need 6,000 people in a ground to cover the cost of the ground that we're using. Well, not I'd be amazed if we get 6,000.
I'm thinking about coming
at 15
down
notes each. I mean, that's I can't imagine us getting 6,000. So we must be working at a deficit.
I think it'd be close to about 3,000 on Saturday or Tuesday. Sorry,
Tuesday. Really?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of. I'm thinking about going. I am. I think about driving around and going. But yeah, I don't know if.
The FA Cup opened up, Chesterfield at home.
Tough time, man.
Tough, but I tell you what, there aren't going to be many other hand. If you had to hand pick some opposition, there ain't a huge amount of guys. I mean, that's a decent draw.
I'm not sure. I'd make Chesterfield favourite. Well, before the Orient game, I thought Chesterfield would have been favourites.
They're third in
conference, only below Wrexham and Notts County.
But you wouldn't have wanted anyone in League Two. You wouldn't want anyone in League One. So
I would have had a couple of League Two teams over Chesterfield.
Oh right, okay, it's interesting. 100%. But I mean they'll be decent, I reckon.
The top six in the conference is probably better than the bottom six in League Two. I'd have Chesterfield beating Crawley, Chesterfield beating Hartlepool, Chesterfield beating Harrogate. So it's a tough game. It's a tough game, but I think you're right. It is a winnable game. So
it's a 50-50 at home.
It's an opportunity to get into round three, and getting a big boy, getting one of the big heads. So,
But more importantly, though, is we've done the Weymouth game, Leighton Orient. Did you watch it?
I watched it. Didn't go.
It was outrageous. It was one of the rare times that it kind of clicked.
Excuse me. I see, the funniest thing about it is first 10 minutes, I think, 10, 15 minutes.
It was all them.
I messaged the boys and said, we're getting absolutely battered here.
Yeah, I thought Smith was quite quick as he.
And then Bosch, we score. And it kind of hit them. And then they were just trying to do... We got told, like, Orient fans have had to get asked for doing the dark arts, but all I saw was that Archibald kept trying to wind Jack Curry up.
Yep,
Jack Curry
constantly.
Just stood up for him, just took the piss out of him in the end. He had to go off. Who is it? Prattley in the middle kept trying to go up against Pell, and Pell loves that kind of game.
Yeah.
Woodyard, I thought, was brilliant. Do you know what I mean? I thought he was superb. I thought all of them were superb, to be fair. I can't pick a player where I thought he had a bad game.
The only player who I thought was a bit underwhelming, again, unfortunately, was Paris. And the fact that he came off after the hour, I thought, because he got booked, obviously, bad tackle, but it was right. And the referee was pretty average. But it was just one of those games where I felt that we actually played somewhere near our potential. I thought Asau was a menace. I thought Pell was exactly what we needed. And to be honest with you, and again, I'll talk about it in some of my unpopular opinions, but it definitely seemed like it was a game where we kind of come together. I feel like as a group, due to the fact that we barely got anyone fit, we've kind of stumbled across not only a formation, but a way to play. Sanev is, like you said last week, which is spot on. Sanev's a different keeper when he hasn't got to just pass it out of the back. He just gets it and whacks it. We just seem to go, we're going to play up there now. We're not going to play down by our box and pass it about and lose it. That's not our game. We're not going to do it. We're going to go forward.
I had a conversation with some people the other day about Johnny Jackson. Do you know what I mean? And how, like, last on the debrief, we were literally saying we're still not 100% on Johnny Jackson. He still doesn't really do it for me. But then Tuesday was a Wimbledon performance that we've all been crying out for, right? And I think he's kind of looked at it, and he came into League Two. He's come from Charlton, which is probably a passing team. He's probably looked at the way we played last year and thought, well, if we pass the ball around like we did at the beginning of the season, which we smashed teams in League One playing first off. Remember, we were beating teams. Robbo kind of got a bit, stubborn with it, and then we kind of lost games. And I think he's come in thinking, right, we're going to play our way out of League Two.
Yeah. I agree.
Right. Then he's had injuries and stuff and actually realised that actually, if we play for the way our formation is now, Wimbledon fans don't really give a shit how we play. Do you know what I mean? It could be tippy-tappy one week and we smash a team 3-0, we'll go home happy. But we could also beat the shit out of a team like Leighton or into the top of the league, win 2-0 and then we'll go out happy. And I think he's realised now that Wimbledon fans just want to see 100%. They just want to see a team put out that's going to give 100%, give everything for Wimbledon. And I think that's what happened on Tuesday. And actually, I think he's woke up a little bit with regards to, right, get the ball forward, get round Davison, give the ball to Asau on that left wing and let him run at people because we scored 2 goals from it. The only negative I have from it, though, Dan, is Ethan Chidley's old man again on Twitter. Do you see it?
Oh, that was so cringe.
Mate, why? I don't get it.
Great comment, and then he just ruins it. He had a nice game. And then to say something got old by someone not passing, I only can presume he's talking about Asau.
Yeah.
But just to me, it just sounded like a petulant, jealous kid. Like, seriously, mate, just like, you don't need to do that. Or have the bollocks to go, if only Asau could square the ball to my son. Yeah, it was just get over yourself.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, I didn't get it. And we'll go off subject a little bit. Did you see this? I messaged you about the stuff with Steve Salas. Talking about Twitter and stuff. Sorry, I thought I'd quickly bring it up.
That is.
Ray Arnfield, if people didn't know, put a tweet out saying...
Who's lovely, by the way.
Yeah, he's a lovely old
really
guy.
Really nice guy.
I know his son, Peter.
He literally lives just over there from here for me. Yeah, I can see him now.
He's a bit of a knobhead, to be fair, but yeah, his dad's a lovely guy.
Oh, he's well all right. Shep,
but, if people didn't know, Ray put a tweet out about our wall at Weymouth, for how, you know what I mean, you jump, an experienced defender tells Jack Curry to move out the wall and it goes under and it's just basic defending. Steve Salas then breaks it down to Ray that Ray's never coached before. Why does he get his boots on? Go down the training ground. One, he works for the club in this capacity that he's a contributor to the programme, which he doesn't work. He's a volunteer. But yeah, it blew my mind. And everyone, I don't think Steve Salas realised what he was getting into, because literally every Wimbledon fan just went on there and just destroyed him pretty much.
Unfortunately, mate, as well, with Salas, and it's very similar to Johnny Jackson, is that I feel like they're quite theoretical based. And what I mean by that is Jackson has probably played academy football where the theory is you get the ball down, you pass, you play. Nice pitches. And when you're in League Two, you've got horrible blokes. Mohamed Harrogate as examples. They were strong and they were big fellas. Sutton, we just got out bullied. We could have played football till the cows come home. And in League Two, you need to be a little bit more robust because the quality of passing the footballers ain't there. And Salas is the same. He's talking about a very simple theoretical structure around mental health and positive mindset. And sometimes, yes, I agree, it's a very, very valid thing and he's trying the best that he can, but it's also quite rich from, frankly, that is the least Wimbledon team, or the least a team ethic and a team that I don't recognise, because last year was,
well, the weakest mindset we've ever had. Yeah,
it was just embarrassing. But I'm not gonna waste,
but then someone
a
who's...
moment of positivity
talks about mindset,
bloke, but...
and talks about positivity, getting into a volunteer. Do you know what I mean? About mindset. And I just thought, yeah, it was, again, talking about cringy tweets and stuff like that. I just thought it was,
I mean,
really...
it was pathetic, but it was nice. Like I said, I'm not going to let him dampen my mood about Leighton Orient.
Yeah.
It was great. it was good. It's just frustrating. We get an amazing win. Where are we? We're still 15th. We're obviously, it's getting closer, obviously, to the
6 points off playoffs, mate.
To moving further forward. But it was a really positive experience. I felt like we genuinely battled. It was like a Pell, I thought, got the right balance between being physical, getting in front of players, getting a free kick, cheers. It just felt like, as well, as a home game, that was a real energy. Like the energy in that in the stadium was good. Interesting to read about our stewards. I don't know if you've read about the away fans complaining about it. The students, and they've changing the whole company.
But my two, on the boxes, a pyro got thrown on the pitch, which it did, nowadays you can't do that, unfortunately. I love pyrotechnics. I think there's a place for them in football. I've been to watch a lot of European football where pyrotechnics are used all the time by the fans. It looks brilliant. No one's ever, I don't think, it's been injured. I don't look on that side, but when I've seen it, I went to a Czech Republic game and there was pyros and it was brilliant to watch. And I think it adds a little bit of atmosphere. The smoke then disperses, is fine. But you can't use them in England. It's against the law. It's a 3-year ban straight away now. So what I saw it as is that they saw who it was. The Lorient fans were trying to protect him, trying to get him so he didn't get chucked out or get nicked.
Yeah.
Ash Stewart's pointed him out because the police were there as well, pointed him out. But unfortunately, Ash Stewart can be a little bit heavy-handed.
Or was it really? Was that what it was? We're quite heavy-handed, bro.
I believe apparently that the guy who got nicked got taken around the back, thrown against the wall, and his arm was broken or something. That's what he's on an Orient forum. But again, there's no CCTV of this. There's no, they complained. The problem is it ain't the first time an away fan or away team has complained.
Okay.
I've had my complaints with some of our stewards in our end. Some of my mates said they've changed a lot in our end now. They kind of let our fans just get on with it, standing up, singing and stuff like that, which I hope a new lot of stewards don't come in and make you all sit down like they did at King's Meadow and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But they said it's changed a lot since I've been to a game. I ain't been to a lot of home games. I hope with the stewards going that our chief security officer is going as well, because, he should be gone.
That was at the other end from us. But I don't, like I said, only the second clean sheet we've had since the first game of the season. And me and my dad will talk about it. It's one of the few times we won a game of football and I didn't feel stressed about the game. I kind of felt like, they had a goal disallowed, but it was never really going to be a goal. It was just nice to be able to go to a game and feel relatively comfortable. We desperately need to find a way of giving Davison a breather because he's running himself ragged. He's got a very cringe TikTok, by the way. If you ever see it, he's got a cringe video, got a crikey.
I'd sell Davison tomorrow. Because of his haircut. Have you seen his hair?
His hair is pretty bad.
He's got to get rid of it or we get rid of him.
Wow. Maybe Samson. The longer it is, the more goals he's got.
I'm half joking, but that hairdo he's got is ridiculous.
But I mean,
TikTok he did.
It's grim as hell. And but
Paris is a YouTuber now as well.
I've not seen him.
That's cringe as well.
I think we need to find a way of getting to a point, of giving him some sort of breather. But again, what will be interesting is obviously Huddersfield in the replay. I presume Huddling can't play. So that will be that.
But
in terms of him.
We don't know if that's what Davison's game is. We don't know if he's running himself in ragged. He could be like that all the time and just looks like he looks
but
like
for
he's
me,
injured.
You can't keep playing.
NYC's
three. He's training. But just three games a week for 3 or 4 weeks with the kind of way that we want, the role that we want him to do. We need to just sometimes maybe protect him from himself, but we don't have anybody else to do what we need him to do.
NYC should be back soon, so hopefully he'll come back in. I said the other day, once NYC comes back in, if we can ride this wave now, this form that we're on in the league as well. I know we're unbeaten in four now. We beat Crewe. Who do we beat? We beat some people.
Beat Rochdale. Yeah, Drew with Crewe.
Beat Harrogate.
Drew
with Bradford.
Drew with Weymouth. Right. Drew with Portsmouth.
Yeah, so we're doing all right. If we can ride the wave to January, if we get the money in from Gunter, or we can get some money in and get strengthen a couple of positions, we could, as I said before, could do something special this season. But knowing Wimbledon, we'll go to Salford on Saturday and get beat 4-0.
My concern, mate, and again, it's a weird one, but getting NYC, I think, could muddle us right up. I think we've stumbled across, genuinely aren't the best formation we've got, which is one up front, two wide, one in the hole, two sitting, and I wonder
100% we can get NYC in that formation.
We can do, but where?
Instead of Chislett, he's a better player.
What, on the
Chislett.
Right?
Yeah.
So you play NYC wide.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I mean, I would be. I was more. I thought more getting him in the middle, dropping Pell back in line with Woodyard.
No.
So you're playing Chislett, you're playing two, you're basically playing 4-4-2.
No. Just put NYC in the Chislett role, your SL left, NYC right, Davidson up front, and then you've got Pell just behind. Anyway, we should move on. We've been waffling on for quite some time.
Hey, we're a podcast on about the Super Dons winning. We're good as we do what we want.
Well, that's true. It's our podcast. Right, when we come back, we'll be discussing our unpopular opinions.
Our podcast for the fans.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing unpopular opinions. Danny, it was your idea, so I'm going to let you go start with your one. I've got one straight off the bat, but we'll go with yours first.
So basically, I was chatting to some lads at work about it. I don't know if you know, I can't remember what it is on Radio 1. And they had a thing and they do a song about unpopular opinions. Right, okay, fine. So I looked at it and I thought...
Greg James.
So I looked at it and I thought, that might be quite an interesting one for Wimbledon. So I've written down 8 statements about Wimbledon as a whole. Some are quite controversial. Some are not, and I'm interested into whether you agree with it, don't agree with it. We can discuss them briefly, but if you've got one, you're more than welcome to start. So you can either start it off, you can wait until I've done a couple, or you can go at the end.
And I'll go with one straight away.
All right, go ahead.
Alfie Bendall, as much as I love him and think he will be a star,
yep,
currently overrated.
Okay,
because he's not getting in a part. I wouldn't even have him above Paris at the moment.
Yep,
and people go on like this kid is going to be a world beater, which hopefully yep. will be, but at yep. this time, at this moment, I'd send him on loan, and I think yep. he's overrated for the minutes he's had, and he's 17 years old. I think people are going a little bit overboard with how good he is at this okay. time.
What level would you send him out on loan, Julie?
Probably one below, Conference or Conference
South. You think Conference or Conference South?
If we could send him to, say, a Maidenhead, a Barnet, do you know what I mean? Someone like that, or Conference South, send him to like Dover or something like that and send him somewhere where he can get... He needs 90 minutes. He needs to be playing games regularly to show how good he is.
What's more important, playing at a better standard or just getting 90 minutes? Because the casuals, I'm sure, would take him in a heartbeat again.
He's got to play above that because he did well at that level. So he's got to play, I think, just below Conference where he's playing against the Wrexhams, he's playing against, do you know what I mean? Even maybe a Dorking, if Dorking are doing all right in the Conference.
Dorking, I think that's, I hate to say it, I don't disagree with you. What I would say is I think he's got a huge amount of potential, but that is the worst word in the whole planet. I tell all the kids all
why
the time.
Why are you saying that? Because you hate the word.
I can't stand the word.
You say it a lot,
potential. That's it's a shambles.
But you say it a lot, so that's an unpopular opinion.
Well, it's an unpopular opinion of mine, or it could be a popular opinion, depending on your point of view.
But you say
it means everything and nothing. And yeah, he could be
use
great,
it a lot.
He could not. What do you mean I use it a lot? Are you winding me up?
For someone who don't like it, you've used it quite a lot on the podcast. Potential. You say it quite often.
Wow.
For someone who don't like it. So I'm just saying.
Anyway. I can't believe you've even gone there with your silly little hat on.
Go on.
Unbelievable scenes. All right. So are we going to agree with each other on Bendall?
Yeah, I think, as I said, I think he will be potentially really good a couple of years in our first team.
All right. I'm going to mix up someone. Someone's at a light and some are quite heavy. Josh Davison is no more than a League Two striker. Agree or disagree? Or do you want me to give you some context?
I disagree.
Okay. Well, from what I've seen of Josh Davison, I think he has been a good League Two striker. I think he's led the line, particularly in the last couple of weeks. There's no doubt of his work ethic, but there have been games where he's been totally dominated and there have been games where he's barely been in the game. And I feel like a better striker, a Piggott, would find a way of being more involved in the game than Davison. I'm not saying, by the way, that Davison has had an unbelievable... Him at Harrogate was superb. He ran his socks off against Leyton Orient. I'm saying he is a good striker at this level, but I still feel that he is on par with them. If you've got the 24 best strikers in the league, I don't know if he's quite in that, but more importantly, I think if you've got every single team's best striker, I think he's smack bang in the middle.
Right.
And I think that he's got room to grow. I'm not going to say the word because I'm sick of you saying it.
But he's got potential, hasn't he?
Shut up.
Right. But I've got one for you then. I heard this
hold on. Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
Disagreeing. I've got one for you.
And you think he's League One?
I think he could step up to League One. He's only young. I think if he has a partner next to him who's decent. I've got one for you there.
Oh, no, that, well, that's exactly the point I'm making.
No, with regards to Josh Davison. Right, yeah, but if he's got a partner, he'll be a League One striker then, because I reckon he'll score the goals. But I've got one distant choice. But so we go Josh Davison, Lyle Taylor, Joe Piggott.
Yep.
Bench, sell, start.
Start Lyle Taylor.
Yep.
Sell Davison.
Right.
Bench Piggott.
Wrong.
Fine. No, I'm not wrong.
Sell Piggott.
You can't sell Piggott.
You bench Davison and you start Lyle Taylor.
So you're basically saying that you're selling Piggott because you think you can get some dosh for him.
No, because I think Josh Davison's a better striker than Joe Piggott.
No, this is horrendous. Joe Piggott has scored like regularly 18 to 20 goals in League 2.
No, he hasn't. He scored it once in one season with AFC Wimbledon. The rest of the time, he ain't scored that many goals. You look at his record.
Joe Piggott?
Yeah, I'll bring up his record now if you want. Well,
if I'd like you to.
But my thing with Josh Davison is Josh Davison has potential.
Shut up about that word potential, please. Right. We're banning that word.
How many goals?
Oh, I reckon Piggott has got a minimum of 15 goals in at least two seasons in League One.
Wrong.
I'm not wrong.
He scored 20 goals once. That was AFC Wimbledon in League One.
Okay. Each year?
Do you want to go through the whole year?
Yes, right? Please.
So he, 10 games or more, yeah?
Just whatever you want.
So for Charlton, he played 11 games, scored 0 goals in the Championship.
Naturally.
Right.
Championship.
He went down, he scored in 10 games in for Newport on loan, he scored 3 goals.
Yep.
In Southend, he scored 6 in 20 in League 2.
Yeah.
He scored 3 in 23 in League 1.
Yeah.
Luton on loan, he scored 4 in 15 in League 2.
Yeah.
Then he went to Maidstone and scored 6 in 17 and 11 in
And 20. This is where he started kicking off now.
Then he came to us, he scored 5 in 18. Then he scored 15 in 40. 7 in 34 and then 20 in 45.
Yeah, so he's got 15 and he's 15 and 40 and 20.
I'm not finished. In for Ipswich, he scored 2 in 22 in League One. He is not a League One striker.
He's got two seasons. He's got 15 plus in the team.
That's my unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Joe Piggott was overrated and I think he's good, and I'd have Josh Davison over Joe Piggott.
But okay. Well, I'm moving on because this is becoming, we're going to fight here.
Right. Honest.
Nick Zanev is fine for League Two football.
Agreed.
Good.
We've had that argument though before.
I think it's good. Okay, this is one that annoys me, and unfortunately, it might rattle a few feathers here. Are you ready? We are not Wimbledon. We as a club, Wimbledon, as it was, the identity of the club, etc., was Wimbledon, and we're not that club anymore. And we constantly go on about the Wimbledon way, and other people talk about the Wimbledon way. And unfortunately, despite the fact how much we are desperate, we are not that club anymore. We're not the crazy gang. We're not jumping on in front of cars and doing weird stuff. We're not cutting people's ties on Sky. We're not the team that would battle 24 hours. And this is what the Wimbledon way. We want it to be that way because we think about it, but we're not, and we haven't been since we've been AFC Wimbledon. Agree or disagree?
Mixed. Agree.
Okay.
With a lot of it. I think we were Wimbledon when we first started.
Okay.
When we went through some of the non-league days and we had people like Danny Oakins and stuff like that. And Noel
Danny, Frankens, Are you Oakins? Danny?
And we would dance on cars and we would, you know what I mean, go to clubs till 3-4 in the morning. That was non-league, so it was a bit, you could kind of get away with it. We're now more professional, and I agree with what you're saying. I hate the fact. I'd go back to Wimbledon FC in a heartbeat. Loved it. That's what I fell in love with football and fell in love with Wimbledon, because we had the Vinnie Joneses, the Ben Thatchers, people like that. And yeah, I kind of agree with you. It winds me up that so many people at higher levels at AFC Wimbledon want to get away from it so badly.
Yeah,
I mean, want to go away from it. But yeah, could we get back to that? I think we could get back to it. But football, unfortunately, modern football's changed. Dan, we were talking about earlier. You know,
yeah, like, I agree.
As having TikToks and fucking YouTube channels.
I just feel like, Lee, it goes on to my next one, which is we as fans are a huge part of the problem with our club at the minute, on the fact that I feel like we are, as a fans base, we're kind of split into three kind of categories. We're split into the Wimbledon group, who were watching Wimbledon and supported Wimbledon. We've got the newer group, who didn't really know much about the old Wimbledon, but they're seeing a new ground. And then we've got the guys who, frankly, are completely delusional regarding the football club in terms of its aspirations, what it can, what it can't, what we should, what we shouldn't do. And I feel like, as a fan base, because of this you know, we've spoken about it in depth, but because we've got three or four sort of subgroups to the big group, I feel like that is a huge issue around managing our expectations, around supporting the team, around social media and the like. And I find that when I look online, a lot of the people that I'm watching, they kind of agree with each other, but they argue on, but the old Wimbledon would have done it this way. Well, no, we're not them. It's around, oh, but we can do this without knowing the amount of budget or amount of money that's engaged. And I just feel that we as a fan base are a huge part of the problem.
I can kind of agree. I think the problem we got as well is, like we said earlier, regarding people like Steve Salas and stuff, and nowadays you can't have an opinion on science. If you've not played the game or you've not coached the game, you can't have a opinion on, say, Harry Pell having a bad game. Same as I saw people, you know, like people were talking about Tyson Fury versus Chisora. People were saying that fight should never take place. Do you know what I mean? And other people saying you should. But if you've never had a fight, you've never boxed, you shouldn't have an opinion on boxing. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the case now. Like, we had it on the debrief the other week. We had George on, who's a young Wimbledon fan, Don's Trust member. I think he's only 19. I've had a 24-year-old contact me. They just don't feel like they're being listened to by the older people. And one point thing, Lee Willett, love Lee Willett, he's a great guy. He once said at a board meeting, how can we tell the youth of today that they're wrong? Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, you don't anymore. They're entitled to their opinion. And back in the day, you get told, when I used to start watching Wimbledon, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And you stayed with your mates. And the politics side of Wimbledon is one thing I hate it all. I don't want to ever be an owner of a football club. I want to be a fan of a football club where we can do this, or I can go to the pub with my mates. My mates can tell me I'm wrong, but some no mark on Facebook or Twitter keeps telling me I'm wrong. It just gets a bit grinding sometimes. Do you know what I mean? When I have no idea who they are.
I just feel like we agree with helping out. I just feel like sometimes, and again, I think if everyone can kind of just rewind a little bit and understand that we all kind of want the same thing. We all want the football club to do well. We want the team to do well. And if sometimes before you write something, if you can just think about wording it in a way that's better and stop demanding X, Y, and Z, and we must do this, we must do that, because ultimately, sometimes we're just a bit short-sighted. But anyway, there we go.
No, I agree. It's like when we lose, it's like people go, right, fan ownership's got, but it's dead, you know, because we're losing. When we win, everyone goes, well, look, that's why fan ownership's great. Or when, say, Crawley at the moment don't look like they've been run great by owners, you know what I mean? But then people use them as a yardstick, go, oh, look, shit owners. But then people go, well, look at this owner's brilliant, you know what I mean? And it's just like, there's no middle ground anymore with arguments at Wimbledon. It's literally black and white. It's either fan ownership, non-fan ownership. And I think that's why we need to have an actual discussion about everything. The elections ain't great at the moment either, to be fair, Dan. But I've got one for you, unpopular opinion.
Wait a minute.
Short corners.
Oh, God, here we go.
Can be decent. They can be decent if you use them right and you play it right. Short corners can lead to goals.
I think factually you're correct, 100%. But what I would say, and again, another thing on Tuesday, Chislett's deliveries were superb on Tuesday. On a dead ball at the moment, that lad is mustard. He hit some fantastic crosses, hit the free kick. He's obviously done, and again, full credit to people like him. He's obviously worked a lot on that aspect of his game, and he's made himself into a real positive person on a dead ball. I do agree, you can do short corners, and they do work. I guess the question I always say is, if using women as an example, we're actually not, we're quite a biggish side at the minute. So you kind of feel like, well, maybe does a short corner work? And I guess if it results in a cross, it's fine. So I'm not huge on them, but I can't disagree factually with what you're saying. They can lead to goals. Personally, I still would always want the ball whipped into the box.
No, not anymore, unfortunately. But another one as well.
Oh, hold on. You're going to keep going, are you?
Well, I've got another one quickly while we talk about short corners. Pep Guardiola's type of football does not work in the lower leagues. And people have got to stop pretending that League Two footballers can pass the ball out and pretend that they're like Haaland or Kevin De Bruyne. You play in League Two, play what we play, like we saw against Orient, long ball football, play to your strengths, and you know what I mean? Just.
And again,
what's happening to football, right? When you can't, people are so scared of losing there. It's got boring to watch football. Football's got boring because everyone sees tippy-tappy football thinking, oh, it's going to be beautiful. I just want to see goals. I want to see people kicking the shit out of each other like I did on Tuesday night.
I think I can't disagree with that. I think the challenge, obviously, with a lot of players is not only are they not good enough at passing it, but the pitches don't lend themselves to it. I feel also the fitness of players, the speed of players, the speed of brain, you can't match. And again, if you were to play any, and again, when Cheltenham played well against Man City in the Cup, and they didn't get close to knocking them out, but they played well. It's like they decided to do something that Man City don't do. And I feel like if you're going to beat Man City, you can't beat them at their own game. The other thing is Man City squad, they're just so big. League Two squads aren't big enough. You cannot. Man City have got 22 players. Every position, there's two players and their quality. Plus, I mean, one of the players, I watched Chelsea yesterday, by Man City. One of the players was number 65. I mean, we haven't got 65 players in anything. So we haven't got the squad number. We don't have the quality. We don't have the resources. We don't have the training. We don't have the pedigree. You don't have to. But this is the problem. Again, you spoke about it earlier. People like Johnny Jackson, people like Kevin Betsy, if they've come through coaching young players at high-level clubs, you try to teach people to play the right way. You go to League Two, and what's his name's Pierce is not going to pass it. Gunter is going to go and look down the wing. You've got players, Nightingale, Callum Bailly. They are not going to pass the ball. Zanev, he is not interested in kicking the ball. He wants to stop it. So you're asking people to do something that is completely alien to themselves. But because you as a coach, as a young coach, have learned these philosophies, that you decide to implement them because you've been Charlton manager for a year. But before that, you were Tottenham under 19s. Same with Cochrane. Same with all these guys. Robert. Very rarely that a guy comes in without a seriously old school guy, hence why he's probably got Skiven. So yeah, that's interesting. I've got four more.
Go on then.
And I'm gonna stop. Number one, we have no League One standard defenders.
Disagree.
Go on.
Jack Curry.
You reckon he could start in League One tomorrow?
Yeah, for any team as well.
For any team in League One.
Yeah, I think he's
you're picking him over every single team's left back.
I don't know who the left backs are in League One, to be fair, okay. But what I've seen from Jack Curry, if he goes into a team that are better, I think what we were talking about there about the passing game, I think if he went into a team that can pass it around, I think he'd suit it. There is some stuff he needs to learn, but he has got the potential.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think Jack,
we're going to talk like that.
Other than defenders, I think Pierce, no, not anymore. Gunton, not anymore. Paul Cunningham, nowhere near it. Will Nightingale, nowhere near it. Who else we got at the back? Are we talking loan players?
I'm talking, I'm including Towler.
Towler's League One.
No.
100%.
Okay. No, it's interesting. I don't agree. But
Towler could play defensive midfield in League One as well, I think.
Wow.
But I'd have Jack Curry going
Would
there.
Would you have Towler or Dan Jocka?
Towler.
You'd have Towler. Would you have Jocka or Pierce?
Jocka.
Okay. All right. Well, these are my three more, and I'll leave it alone. And this is quite a bold one. After the World Cup, Chris Gunter has to be dropped for Isaac Ogonde.
No.
And do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah, it's wrong, but yeah, go on.
Well, it's absolutely right. And the fact that if Ogonde has played against Bradford in a couple of games, he's been good enough. The way that our club is set up, Ogonde, if there's not much difference between the two of them, we have to give the younger lad a chance to run from now until the summer on the fact that
why
because he's not going to learn and be better by watching Chris Gunter play. He's going to learn by playing and having Chris Gunter giving him advice. But that's part one. Part two, Chris Gunter, there's an absolutely no chance, in my opinion, zero chance of him being with us next year. In fact, I think he could even retire at the end of the year on the fact that he wanted to get to a World Cup. He's done it. There's nothing else left for him. He's Welsh. Why on earth would you want to beat Wimbledon? And I just feel like Gunter's done a great job. He's been solid. He's been consistent. But Wimbledon's mindset is to get players ready for League Two football, league football. And Ogonde, we should say thank you, Gunter. You've had the World Cup. Ogonde's going to come in.
You can't pronounce his name right either. So.
Isaac Ogonde.
Ogundiri.
You're going to go Ogundiri. But if he plays well, I think he goes all the way through.
But you didn't say that.
No, I'm saying Gunter. Well, Gunter won't be dropped. Gunter won't be reinstated after the World Cup.
If Isaac
plays for the rest of the season.
Isaac's got a real big chance now, knowing that Gunter's gone, that he could now stake the right back place. For me, he's not a right back, he's a right wing back. So, and Gunter has made right back his own at the moment. He's been, I thought, been okay. I thought he'd been brilliant against
Auri. He's made it his own because he's played okay.
He's played well.
Well, no, you just said okay.
Yeah, he's played okay. He ain't done nothing wrong. He ain't done nothing great. He's a right,
so,
back.
So no, what you're saying is we're picking him.
Whereas Isaac,
he's okay. Isaac could be really good.
Yeah, but you said he could be.
Yeah, good. But we don't know unless he plays.
But this is Isaac's chance. Gunter's, okay. And I disagree. I think Gunter might have. He possibly could retire at the end of the season. I don't get the he's Welsh. Why would he want to be at Wimbledon? He played for Charlton beforehand, so he probably lives local.
Yeah, but
this, do you know what I mean? You ain't going to go. Do you know what I mean? You don't retire and go, I'm moving back to Wales. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to live in the valleys.
But why not?
You might have a nice house, no mortgage, in freaking like Mayfair or something for a week.
But surely, from a club point of view, our focus. Bearing in mind,
Why should that be our focus? Winning games.
No, our focus for our football club, Wimbledon's model, has to be to get young players into our team.
Agreed.
And get them established as quickly as possible.
And
I'm not saying winning games is important, but not as important as
Isaac,
getting guys in, out, and sold.
Isaac's done brilliant to get in because I didn't think he'd be anywhere near it. I said maybe he needed to go on loan at the start of the season. He's done really well to get in. He's had a couple of good games, but again, let's not blow smoke up his ass because he hasn't done that great. He hasn't played that well.
I agree.
You know what I mean? He ain't no Jack Curry. So if he makes the shirt his own, I can kind of agree. But I think Chris Gunter comes back and he possibly goes straight back in at right back. Anyway.
So for the club, the best thing for us right now, you think, is picking a 36-year-old Welshman who's in the World Cup after a 3-week break over a young up-and-coming 20-year-old
training with Ramsey and Bow and seeing some of the best
players. Both passed it, right. Both getting the bus passes, right?
As I said, if Isaac can make that shirt his own, then stay in the team. But I'm not one of these people who go, for the best of the club, we put in a youngster who might not be good enough.
Well, it's an unpopular opinion. That's why we're doing it. Right, two more, and then I'm going to shut up.
Coming in.
Our problem at the moment, or has been at this season, is our experienced players again.
I agree. Yeah, unfortunately, we lost Pierce early on, which I think was a blessing in disguise, to be fair. I actually think we're better now without Will at the back.
Agreed.
Paul Cullenby is doing okay. Again, he's not... there's a mistake.
He cannot play football in terms of ball at his feet, but if it's a physical marking, he's your man.
And he loves a header, but...
Loves it.
Yeah, he's not a footballer.
No,
that's why he's playing League Two football, and that's why I wouldn't have him at any higher level. Taylor's been immense. I'd like to see Taylor defensive mid, but we haven't got any defenders. Lee Brown, it's hard to judge because I thought he was poor last season, to be fair, and he's been poor this year. Yeah, it's strange because we wanted the mix of experience with youth, and I don't think the experience is stepping up. I've been very, very happy with Pell.
Yeah, in the last four games, he's kind of hit some form, isn't he?
And I said I weren't overly happy when he signed, but I think he's grown. He's grown up as a player. He's home probably now. He's closer to friends and family. Looks like he's enjoying his football. And I've got to give him his due. Woodyard's had a really good couple of games. And if we can get Woodyard fully fit, then, he could be decent.
I mean,
started. The youth ain't been overly great either.
No. But
we've had Jack Curry.
Like
we've had Isaac.
We've kind of put... From last year to this year, the main focus is we need a core, physical, experienced guys throughout our squad to support us. And I feel Woodyard has been excellent since he's coming, in my opinion, but we didn't see a lot of him because he was injured. I'd say Gunter, Pierce, Brown, Pell before the last three or four games, and Woodyard because he hasn't been playing. Personally, I feel like that's been a huge... disappointment, but we can bury it. Last one, we are in exactly the position that we should be in for the rest in terms of our season. We should be 15th, and we're 15th.
I wouldn't say it was an unpopular
opinion. As a club, where we are.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was an unpopular opinion. I think that's it is what it is. That's why we're 15th.
Just interesting.
We're so inconsistent. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
that's it. We're inconsistent. We've got good splashes, but I feel like
1 week can be really, really good. Next week can be really, really bad. And the problem with us, I don't think there's any middle ground other than people like Gunter, who I think get sixes and sevens.
Yeah, I agree with that. Gunter is very, very stable, isn't it?
And same as Curry. Curry's like a seven pretty much every game.
Yeah.
Towler's pretty much seven, but then Paul Cullenby can be a four 1 week. He can be an eight.
100%. 100%.
people I've been disappointed with, again, is Marsh. I know he's been injured, but even when he was playing, I think we're better with him at the team at the moment. I don't see how he gets back in. Paris, unfortunately, started off 9-9-9. He's dropped to like 4 now every week. I think later on it was a 6 or 7 for me. Do you know what I mean? There are no scores on the doors here, but yeah, I think 6s or 7s. But yeah, I kind of agree. I think we are where we are. But with NYC coming back, Robinson probably coming back in January. If we can go out and get a decent centre back, maybe a left winger, then we could really push on again. But yeah, I think you might be right there, Danny. One of your unpopular opinions that you're probably correct on.
I'll take that. Well, those were my unpopular opinions. If there is anyone who's got an unpopular opinion out there who feels that they can say it, by all means, tweet us or send us. Or more importantly, get yourself on the show. Get yourself on the podcast and come and tell us exactly your unpopular opinions. We'd love to hear more about, you know, the reason why you feel like we should play 5 at the back, why we should be playing huddling up front with Courtney Senior. You come and tell us.
No, I agree. And as I said, this season, I think we can kick on. There's huge potential there. But we'll move on. And when we come back, we'll be discussing the Hustings.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
And we're back, and we're going to be discussing the Hustings. There's obviously a little bit of a what's it called at the moment regarding
set
the
two, connect. But I don't know. I don't know anything about it. You tell me about it because I don't know anything.
But you're a Don Strauss member, Dan, so you should be knowing all about this.
I don't know anything.
Do you go on pro boards?
I'm not being funny. I don't want to know what a pro board is. So what is a pro board?
Pro boards is where you can ask questions to the board. You can have general discussion.
I've never heard of it.
Right. I don't know.
Generally, I've not heard of it. I'm going to go online right now. Did you just type in Don's Trust pro board? Yeah.
I think so. I'm not sure. I went on it and I'm on it now.
Your heart's on it.
But all the candidates on there, all the manifestos got put in there. You can ask questions to different.
Oh, good. I was going to read the manifestos this week.
You can go on and you can ask questions to the people standing. I said on the debrief the other day, one thing that really winds me up is there's questions to the candidates. So you go on, ask a question, and then you get some no-mark Don Strauss member answering the question for them or putting their view across, which I really
that
hate.
That would be really annoying. It's like, I didn't ask you, asked him.
It happens all the time.
It's made me really so annoying.
Oh, and because everyone's got that. And then I did it the other day, though. Someone was saying something, and I just thought, you can't beat them, you have to join them. Because someone was like
part of the problem.
I am part of the problem.
Fans are part of the problem.
Someone raised it with me, and I said, "Look, the problem is no one stops it. I ask a question to a candidate, and I get 3 people who had their own agenda putting their view across already, and it's like it really winds me up. So I had to put someone straight on a few things because that's what I do.
Of course,
but
you did.
It really annoyed me, and it actually upset me. But yeah, the Hustings debate at the moment is that 9 years they usually do the Hustings. Unfortunately, can't do it this year due to not having enough people or time or something regarding that. So the same old Wombles podcast have stepped up and said, look, we can we can host, but we can provide the equipment needed to make sure that they go ahead.
They've had no chat with the club. They've just decided it's off their own back. Is that right?
Well, anyone can hold a Hustings. We could hold a Hustings if we wanted. Anyone can hold it. But
did a candidate just hold their own Hustings for no reason, or did they have to go through a particular process?
I think there's a process you need to go through with the ESG, which is the election steering group, which makes sure.
Because normally at Hustings, if one person does it, you've all got to kind of do it.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, the Hustings. And two or three people now are not going to be joining the Hustings. Mike.
Oh, really?
Hasty and Daniel Allwright, the two I know at the moment. Because they do feel like it's not fair, and I have to kind of agree with them. Because
why is it not fair?
Because I don't think the same old Wombles are going to do it, but I think they'll be fair, and I think they're down their own. I know Mark Lewis quite well; he's a good lad.
He's also running, isn't he?
He's running. Adam Proctor on the same old Wombles is running as well, and Niall Cooper and Matthew Cooper do the same old Wombles.
Okay,
Niall.
And lovely lads, to be fair, but yeah, I can understand the conflict of interest a little bit.
Niall's stepping down from the Tonsure board.
Yep.
Matthew, I think, nominated Mark to be on it. So, but they're not involved in it. They're not involved in the Hustings. They won't be. But the 6 people that are going to be involved in the Hustings, one of them was approached by Niall. So for me, that's not, you know what I mean? It should be a totally independent person that has no view on fan ownership. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah. It should be complete. Well, I mean, how easy, though, surely to Christ, with hustings, it's just a chat. But ultimately, you just have 10 questions and you go, okay, I'm asking everyone the same 10 questions. You ask them the 10 questions and then you talk. And if you're not sure, you ask for clarification or you ask something around it and then you move on to the next.
But one of the things that people are asking is who's putting the questions together. So right. It's the six people now that have been picked, seems like it's been picked by Niall to hold the hustings, are now putting the questions together.
But these what would people, you ask then if you were asked, if you were part of that committee, what kind of things would you ask?
Again, I don't know. You ask them about their manifestos and what do you think about fan ownership, what do you think about control, what do you think about getting younger people on the board? Do you know what I mean? Getting younger people to be members. Do we, like, one of the questions at the moment on there is about having all fans have a voice. I know you're quite on that. Some people on there say that other fans shouldn't have a voice unless they join the Don's Trust. Do you know what I mean? Join the Don's Trust, it's only £25. That argument really winds me up sometimes. But yeah, and my personal opinion is that if the hustings can't be official and they're going to be unofficial hustings that have nothing to do with the ESG, then they shouldn't go ahead. And as much as people want to hear from the 13 people standing, which I do, because obviously a lot gets said better in voice and stuff and people can understand it because context gets lost in written form. But if it's not going to be official, then it shouldn't go ahead because it could, and this is why people are questioning it, that it could be led one way or another. People could ask questions. As I said, the six people I know at the moment, let me get that up. I've got the
information
in front of me. One of them is Anouk, who does the SLO job.
Okay.
I've had my issues with her in the past. I find her quite patronising, quite sarcastic to women and fans.
Is that Anouk Teasdale?
Yeah, on social media. Okay. I know she got told to rein it in by the club because she was quite sarcastic. She's been before. Who's the others? Hazel Potter. She's not a big fan of me, which I know that because she put it the other day. Someone said that I'd done a great job presenting the debrief. And she said she was going to unfollow the person for that opinion, which I thought was quite funny. But yeah, she's very one-sided, I believe. Peter Lang, no idea who he is. Damien Woodward, know Damien quite well. I think he'd do a good job, but yeah, again, he's fan ownership, stuff like that. And then Joe Blair, again, I know Joe Blair quite well, but I believe he is fan ownership led. He also, as I said to him the other day,
is he running?
No, he's not running. He's been asked by Niall. He was the one who was asked by Niall, told it. And as I said to Joe the other day,
I like Joe though. Joe's great.
Joe's a good lad, but the other day he said a couple of sarcastic comments to Mike on socials. And I said to him, if you're going to be holding a hustings, you need to remain professional. You need to remain impartial. Do you know what I mean? So you can't be putting your views on Facebook now that you've been asked to do hustings. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like me and you doing the hustings and then me going, I don't agree with what you're saying because fan ownership's a load of tosh.
Yeah.
That's then me not being impartial straight off the bat. And that's the thing. And I know it's riled up a few fans and some people think it's just nonsense and we should just get on with it. And it's just, but this is elections. It's a massive election this year because we've got three or four candidates who want to go down a different path. I think it's got to be fair. It's got to be down the line and the ESG have to be involved in it from start to finish. So
it's interesting because, like I said, I don't think anyone is arguing with I don't think anyone is arguing about what everyone's trying to achieve, but it just, I'm finding it staggering that the club aren't doing anything. That's part one. Part two, we're getting a bit of a knickers and a twist about something that is completely unofficial. This is just a conversation. If people want to have it, they can have it. I'm certain. What I'm surprised at is why can't individuals just do their own video? Why can't you, if I'm using one of the candidates as an example, why can't they just get a friend of theirs to ask some questions and they can speak to a camera and you put it on for social media? Why does it have to be, you know, you can, or do a live, like you know, you do an amazing job. I'm not going to tell you that, but you do, you do the Sunday debrief. Hopefully you can explain that it's not, once you've got the hang of it, it's relatively simple. You can come on and people can ask you questions and now you can do it live themselves. I mean, what, you don't even need a hustings. You can just turn up and go, this is what I'm going to do. This is my manifesto. This is what I'm going to speak about. And I'm going to be available for any questions. And if not, bosh.
I've said previously, like, we've got so much room at Plough Lane. Why could we not have done something at Plough Lane where you go, right, we're going to do a question time style thing where you get someone leading it, a chair, an independent person. Say, like I said on the, saying to you off air earlier, on the debrief last week, Stu said that Aaron Paul said he'd happily come along and he'd chair you cheer it. He's independent. He has no views. You know what I mean? He loves Wimbledon to bits, but he does support Man United, which is his downfall. Do you know what I mean? I carried him on Love Sport for months, so
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I carry this podcast, but why not have him come down, do the chairing, and then you have, say, seven on the panel at first. The fans ask all the questions. Do you know what I mean? They answer question time style. Then you have the other seven come in, question time style again. Do you know what I mean?
So, Gunnar, can you stop mentioning the word question time?
Sorry, I love a bit of question time. Oh, but yeah, do you know what I mean? I do. But as I said, the other day when the Hastings and same old woman said they were going to do it, people were saying there were going to be journalists on there. There were going to be independent people. I said Aaron Paul put his name forward. There was a Chris Falk said the club would help in any way that they could. Why are we also relying, Dan, on fans and podcasts and social media stuff to be done? Do you know what I mean? Why has this not been done by the Donnerstrasse board or the ESG?
I think that's a massive problem. I don't really have the answer. I don't understand why some people, someone in the club can't just grab this by the scruff of the neck. And again, it's just another example of how it'd be an easy way of just finishing this debate off. Like, you could do it, it's done. And for some reason, we're kind of, the club is at sixes and sevens because someone hasn't grabbed it and someone's not able to take it. But also, are the Hustings that big a deal? You've done the manifesto. For me, if I'm running myself, I don't know the guidelines. I did work at the elections when I was at uni, and we did a lot of stuff, and there's particular guidelines. I just don't understand where it's like, okay, every one of you are allowed to submit a 10-minute video of yourself about what you believe. Do a video one, you can put them on YouTube, you can put them on Twitter, you can put it on Facebook, and then you are allowed to do one live hustling with a friend of your choice, or you can speak online and do an online spaces thing. How hard is it to do it yourself?
No, I agree.
DIY Hustings.
The problem is, as I said, and this is nothing against the same old Wombles lads, because I think it will be fair.
I agree. I think they would do it.
I think they want to get a Hustings out because obviously that's what people want. But you've got to make sure that it is down the line as straight as it comes. There can't be any wonkiness in it. And as I said, I think people are getting rolled up. As I said, if you go, this election at the moment has made me think, why have I ever joined the Don's Trust? Do you know what I mean? I've paid 25 quid because I thought, right, I'll get right involved. I found a lot of people on there, Sarky, Snipey. Do you know what I mean? They can't wait to try and trip a couple of candidates up, do you know what I mean, over their manifestos. And it's the same. And if you're not on pro boards and you're a Donnerstrasse member, get on there, ask questions to the people standing, because I keep seeing the same
but
old
try
people.
And do it in a nice way, though.
That's what I mean. I'm not saying go on there and call people names.
But you can ask questions, but just do it in the right way and just be respectful.
But do it, though, because not enough people are doing it, Danny. It's the same.
I agree. And like, just the snipey comment stuff is rubbish. Like, you don't have to agree, but you don't have to be an idiot. Why don't you just ask the questions that you want to ask and then let everyone get on with it?
One of them the other day, I was on the debrief I said about it. Mike was getting loads of questions, right? Because obviously he's...
Which is good, because that's ultimately what he wants. He wants traffic, which is great.
He's getting a lot of traffic because his manifesto...
Are they lively? Is it a live thing, like a WhatsApp, or is it... you put it up and then you put it up and then
someone will see it. They'll write new message, new question.
And Mike, wouldn't go, all right, I'm on from 5 to 7. Does anyone ask any questions? No, or is it you just put it up there as
and when? You just put it up and then he'll answer it. And he was getting lots of questions.
And you can direct it straight to an individual?
Yeah, you can go with Mike right. Hastie, okay. Or Dan Allwright or Colin or Kevin Rye. I mean, them people. Yep. Yeah, you go and they ask them a question about what they think. Matt Lowndes has been brilliant on there so far, I think, in my opinion. But okay. You go on there, you ask a question. But as I said, you get a few. And then one of them, Matt, he was getting loads of questions. I said his manifesto is more to do with the outside investment, the fan ownership kind of model and stuff like that. So he's getting a lot of questions. So he came on and said, I'm getting a lot of questions. I'm quite busy at work today.
Okay.
I'll answer it as soon as possible.
Yeah, fair enough.
Lawrence Lowndes went on there and went, Mike, as you said you're busy, does this mean that you're not going to be able to give your full attention to the Donnerstrasse board?
That's petty as hell.
Right? And then, Simon Willer and Jane Lunsdale did bring him up and said, look, that's not on, kind of thing. I brought it up and as well, and Lawrence said it was a fair question. But he didn't ask everyone that question, because there were some people that haven't even logged on pro boards. There's some people that didn't even answer questions on there. Do you know what I mean?
Lee, it's such a cheap shot to sell, by the way. Are you going to get your full attention? It could be the one day in the year that he's a teacher and he's doing something, or it's the end of the financial year.
And this is
one
what I mean.
Presentation, a job interview. Come on, that's just silly.
I've not been
I don't know him, but I'm sure.
When you'll go on Pro Board, you'll see it. There's a lot of people in there with their own opinions, and that's all that matters. Their opinions are fact. That's it. Don't listen. I'm telling you, this is facts. And it's like, well, it ain't. It's your opinion at the end of the day. And it is the elections at the moment. I just not enjoyed it at all since it started. I thought, oh, this would be quite good. But it's sniping, pettiness. And it's sad, unfortunately. As you said earlier, Dan, about the fans and stuff, and there's two. It ain't ever going to change if this is, you can't have an opinion on stuff and you can't chat about it and you can't, do you know what I mean? So I'm quite disappointed. As I said, Mike and Daniel have decided not to take part in the hustings because I don't think it's going to be fair and down the line. And I kind of have to agree with them a little bit on that because, as I said, the six people I've seen, I don't think a few of them will be fair and I don't think they should be on that panel.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a shame because obviously, yeah, it's a shame, but like I said, I'm sure there's more than one way to skin the cat. I just hope that people who want to speak or have got the opportunity to get the information out that they want to get their information.
No, agree. And hopefully we can have a hustings where we can listen to all candidates and people can ask questions. But as I said, going forward, the club, the Don Trust Board, they need to look at it and get it all sorted so it don't happen again, because it's a bit of a sham, in my opinion.
That's a shame. Well, as we've always said, and hopefully we've been as respectful as possible. I wish everyone the best of luck and hope everyone gets what they want.
No, agree. Right. Should we move on?
Yes, mate.
When we come back, we'll quickly discuss the our loan players and should we keep or send them back.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Back, and we're going to be discussing, well, I came up with the idea loan watch, and we talk about the loans at the
it's mainly because Lee watches things on his own, so it's a loan watch.
See, that went very good.
I bring this to the party.
I'm going to put on a, what's it called, for, like a little tumbleweed on the on when I edit this.
I look forward to that.
Loan watch, so who we got loan? We got
Zach Robinson. Our ones, let's do our ones first. Towler, let's go for the back. Towler
stays 100%.
Yeah, solid. I'd keep him for the season. I think he's been good. I think he's been a little bit of a surprise package getting him in quite late. I'd be delighted to have him. I don't think we'll keep him after the season, but I definitely feel like. Where do you think he's best? Centre back, centre mid. What do you think?
Defensive midfield. I'd have him with Woodyard.
He's better there than centre back.
Yeah. If we need another centre back though in January, or we need someone to come back from injury, like I'd have Lee Brown back with Canabaya and Taylor just in front. But yeah. And the one, Paris.
Oh, I hate to say it. I feel like Paris could be a Mabude for us. Because I think Mabude was a very good football player, but he just never really got going. I don't know where he is this year, actually.
I don't think he's anywhere.
No, I don't think he was either. I feel like Paris at the moment, he'll definitely stay. I think he's definitely got something to work with. Do you think he's playing a bit too deep? Do you think that might be the problem?
I'd send him back. Only because I just don't think, if the rumours are true that Brentford told us he has to play in the defensive midfield role.
Brentwood or Brentford?
Brentford, I said, didn't
okay.
I?
No, you said Brentwood.
Yeah, that's because the guy.
Because you're from Brentwood.
Yeah. The guy who does the Brentford loans is from Brentwood, that's why.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
But I'd send him back to Brentford because of. There's rumours going around that we got told he has to play defensive midfield. Okay. That's the position they want him to play going forward, and that's where he's going to play when he goes back to Brentford B and pushes on to Brentford. But I he ain't a defensive midfielder for me. I'd rather have, as I said, Towler in there, Woodyard in there, Marsh in there.
I just think he's best getting the ball and driving at people.
I do as well.
Feel he does that enough because I think he's a bit too deep. Yeah. And I think he's kind of got the balance in that between he can play that quarterback role, get it, ding it, ping it. But I feel like I've always enjoyed when he gets going, right, I'm going to run at you. He has got this habit that when he loses the ball of being almost like surrendering.
Yeah, he just goes and takes the player out.
It's like, no. Yeah, on Tuesday, Jesus Christ. But he's done it a couple times. I definitely would keep him. The reason being is I don't feel like in January there's going to – I don't – and again, it's that classic example, do you or don't you? You know, we don't know if there's not better players, but I feel like he is – I don't know if – I think we'd struggle to get a more –
I think we could get a better
player with. Okay.
Well, I think we could get a player we could play more attacking in. I don't think we need.
Okay. No, that's fair. I would keep him though, definitely. NYC?
Oh, 100% keep. If he stays fit, he's brilliant and he's got goals. He knows where the goal is. I think he would have been our top scorer this year if he'd been fit, and he still might be, to be fair.
100%. I think we'll keep him. As I said, my main concern is I feel like we've stumbled across a formation and a style of play that suits the group that we've got at the moment. And as we get more and more people back, I'm worried about that.
No, I'm not, because I think he can fit into positions. I think he also can play on the left, so it gives Asal competition. I think he can play in the Chiswick right, and I also think he could play just behind Davison. So, but yeah, and he is good, and if we need to change formation, then we've got someone that can come in and play with Davison, and the potential for them two up front is brilliant. So I'd have, yeah, that's good. But
Huddling,
I think he's going back in January anyway.
Yeah, I think that.
Hasn't really worked out for him. Really,
I quite like him, I think, but I just feel like he's a bit of a lover. He's like they've got a basketball player. Have you heard of him? Called Taco Fall. I don't know if you've heard of him yet. He's basically one of the tallest guys to play in the NFL. He's about 8 foot. He's ridiculous. He plays for Boston Celtics last time I saw, but he's cult status because he's just an absolute monster. And I feel like he had the potential to do it. He just looks a little bit ungainly for me. He looks a little bit weak. But if I'm honest, I genuinely don't feel like he's been given a good enough chance on a match day.
I think the only problem with he got injured, so he had to go back up to Huddersfield. Everyone thought he'd gone then. For me, we don't play to his strengths, or we're not going to play to his strengths. We play now. We've, as you said, stumbled on that formation. Davison with the two wingers. I don't think he gets in above Davison at all. So he ain't going to start games at the moment. We'll come on to Zach in a minute, but yeah, if Zach's coming back, then I don't see the point of Huddling. And again, as I said, I'd send Paris and Huddling back. Because I think we could possibly get better loans in, because what, we've only got three at the moment loans. You allowed five.
We got four in overall. Yeah. I think we're allowed
five. Well, you allowed as many as you want, but
I think
only five.
Six, I think.
I think you allowed as many loans as you want, but only five can be used in the match day squad. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Zach Robinson.
Yes.
I'll bring him back straight away and change.
It says the new loans. It says 8 players loaned out and 8 loaned in during a season. That number will go down to 7 from July 2023 and reduce again to 6. So at the moment it is 8.
Yeah.
But that means, an interesting player. Premier League clubs may not register more than 2 players on loan at any one time.
Yeah, so.
Interesting.
Send them back. And I said Zach Robinson, I'll have him back in January. He's doing all right up in... I don't think he's sitting in the world like people think he is. He's not starting every game.
There's something not quite adding up to me, and I'm a bit confused, and that's why I'm not sure on this one. And I would like him to come back because I feel like he'll do well. I just cannot understand why you'd sign the lad who wasn't particularly keen to sign a deal. You sign him on a deal, and then you send him away to Scotland for the year. That it don't work out. There's something going on here.
The thing I don't like about it is he's not starting every game up in Scotland either. So the other day he came off the bench, he got taken off. He's playing 60 minutes here, 60 minutes there. If he was starting every game and banging goals in left, right, and centre, I can kind of see the for him. But
could be another unpopular opinion, Lee. You know,
we haven't got anyone else on the bench that you think. Bartley, unfortunately, is alone.
Yeah, I think he's one who's got to go. Actually,
yeah, Bartley goes out on loan, and then you've got Robinson on the bench to come on and offer some pace and get in behind, some power, score a goal. I love Jack Robinson. I think if he plays every game, he'll score goals for us. But the only problem is he ain't done it in Scotland, and Championship level is probably our level.
Similar to us, yeah. I mean, I feel like he's gone and what the desired effect was him to go and play. I don't think he was the saviour of us last year. I don't think he's the reason why we'd go out this year. I don't know. But yeah, I think I would bring him back because we need another option and we need another player. But ultimately, let's be honest, he'll come out and Huddling will go back and we'll be the same numbers. And last one, Cosgrave.
He's getting nowhere near our first team ever, unfortunately. I live in Southend, so he's on loan. He's only just got back into their squad after having about a month or two out. Not injured, just not in the squad. Wow. They've got a few injury problems. They're doing all right at Southend now. They've turned it around. But he doesn't play, Dan. He gets on for 30 minutes, 20 minutes here and there. So he's not... If he comes back, he'll go on loan to a Conference South team.
Yeah.
And we're looking at players who can play League 2, League 1.
I mean, all the other young guys, wherever they are, they can stay. I'll just be interested on, I think Bendel needs a loan.
Yep, agreed.
I think Bartley needs a loan.
Agreed. What level do you put Bartley in? Where does he go? Ryman Prem, Conference South?
I think he's got to go Conference South. If he's got aspirations to play, if he's been in around the first team squad now, been on the bench, I feel like he's got to really go for the Conference South. Kwaku, Frimpong, keep him for the rest of the year for experience, or do you give him more minutes?
I'd send him on loan as well, to be fair, because I don't get where he gets in.
I'd be tempted to actually keep him, bizarrely. I think Bendel should go, and I think I'd keep Frimpong, and then I'd swap him the next year.
See, I'm looking at the Conference South table. Like, Bartley could go to a Hampton. Do you know what I mean? He could go to Tunbridge Angels. Hampton are like 17th in that league. Dulwich Hamlet are 19th. Do you know what I mean? Send him on loan to someone like that in the Conference.
Who's bottom of that? Weymouth. I feel like he could do definitely Bartley. I think, and this is the problem with a lot of these young lads, and someone like Bartley is an example. Since he's turned pro, he's had very few minutes.
Mm.
And I feel like these guys, that first season, go out and play. I don't care where you're playing, play. Play adult football, get beaten up, get bruised about, you know, roll your sleeves up. You can still train full-time at the club, go and play. So I think Bartley goes on loan. I think Bendel goes on loan. Frimpong, again, it's all about squad numbers, but I'd probably keep him about, and I might do Bartley a month here or on a month-by-month basis.
Because you're saying Corinthian Casuals. We've got to remember, Corinthian Casuals are in the Rhyme and Prim.
And they're bottom.
Right, so they're not doing so. Should we really be sending some of our players with potential
just minutes
down to that level?
But you say that, but it didn't do Radoni any harm, didn't do Bendel any harm. We've just got to get players minutes physically running, playing, bloking.
Same Biller, maybe send him to Corinthian Casuals because he needs minutes. He needs to be playing games because he's not ready yet to play. He's not getting in above Gunter or Isaac at the moment. So get him out there, get him some minutes. People like Bartley, who are professional footballers now, who have been around the first team squad in League Two, need to be going to the Conference South at least.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's fair.
Football, so, but yeah, that's it then, isn't it? Cosgrove, I think he gets released at the end of the season.
I'd agree with that.
And I don't think he'll go back to a Kingstonian or something like that.
I think he'll go back to where he was. And fair play, they had a look at him. He worked hard. He got a chance. He'll do a Roscoe, have a couple of years. That's well done to you. Back you go.
Yep, no, I agree. Right, well, when we come back, we'll discuss Salford and Weymouth.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're just going to quickly go through because we've been waffling on quite a bit tonight. We're going to go on about the Salford game and quickly preview the Weymouth game on Tuesday. So Salford away, Dan. You going up there?
You know what? I was until this morning. Unfortunately, Bubby and Mrs. Baker, I've not been particularly good this week. They are sick as a dog. So unfortunately, I'm going to be a family man this weekend, and I'm going to look after my wife and look after my little girl and our cat, because she's obviously lonely. So I'll have to try and find a way if I can watch it. But no, it was annoying because I've set myself a target by the age of 50 to do the 92. So I was like,
well, you've got a couple of years left now.
I only got the 1 year left. So I'm looking at like ways to which I can do it. So no, not going, which is, and again, it's one of the few ones where I thought, actually, this could be quite good for us. This could be the one that we do well. Look, I think we've got a lot to look forward to up there. I think it's a good result. I think it's a good place for us to play. It'll be a nice test. It's nice to get the win under the belt. And I would take a draw now to keep the momentum.
Yeah, I wanted to go Salford because, again, I want to tick off the ground. Never been there. Unfortunately, the train tickets, Avanti Coast didn't put their train tickets out to right late. I know some people picked up train tickets for like 40 quid, but when I was looking for me and the boy, it was coming up to about 80 quid. So by the time I've got to London and stuff and gone up there, it's going to probably cost me about 100 quid get in. So I'm looking at about £150-£200 a day, which close to Christmas and stuff. I'd rather work in the morning. I do go out at 5 in the morning, finish at midday, and yeah, try and watch it somewhere, or you know what I mean, and or listen to it on Radio Manchester or something. But yeah, I just couldn't afford it, which I'm gutted about. But I think we'll do all right. I think if we can, we've got to play with the same. The thing is, the team now have put that performance against Orient on. We know they can do it. So they've got to do it every week now. They've got to show that. We've got players. We were saying a little like Ben Dorn, places like that. If they want to stay, they want to play first team football in League Two instead of going out on loan. They need to go, right, I want to, if I come on, I'm going to take my place and do well. Marsh needs to do more as well. So, do you know what I mean? To push it, to get back into the squad. So the 11 that we've got, I wouldn't change it about. Are you changing anything for Saturday?
I'm not. I'm just, like I said, I'm naturally I'm a little bit concerned regarding Davison playing too many minutes, but I'm not changing anything. I'm going to keep it exactly as we are. I don't think there's much room for change, and I think we just go. I just hope that we stay positive, we stay direct. But you know, it's Wimbledon. We're inconsistent. That's been our season. So I'm going to say a 1-1. I think it'll be a what I would call I don't see it being a particularly exciting game. So I think it'd be quite a dullish 1-1 where I think we might we'll take the lead. Asal's been good, so I might say him again. And then I think we might concede. It might be a bit lively at the end, but I think we'll walk away 1-1 thinking that's another game.
We're playing Salford.
What did I say?
You said Dulwich.
Did I say Dulwich?
No, you said dull-ish, but it sounded like Dulwich.
Dulwich.
It's a stupid accent.
1-1.
I'm going Desmond.
Desmond.
2-2. I think their goals there. I think Salford are pretty similar. They're very inconsistent as well. Sometimes they can be really good. Sometimes they can't. I think we're taking a few up there. But yeah, I think, I don't know. It's just, it's mad now because against Orient, I tipped us to get beat. Or I think I tipped us to draw 1-1. But as I was looking at it, I thought, after Weymouth, I thought we'd get beat 3-0, especially in the first 15 minutes. And this thing about Wimbledon, you never know. But hopefully we're doing things right on the training pitch. Johnny's changed it about a bit, which I'm kind of respect and get in there with him. So yeah, hopefully we'll go to him, perform, and then Tuesday night we've got Weymouth in the cup replay, and we've got to tear them apart, haven't we, really?
Well, I mean, I'd like to tear them apart, and I think at home, if you're not beating Weymouth over two legs, over two opportunities, then there's an issue. I think that will be a tight first half, and then the second half, I think we'll find an opening, we'll find a way. And I envisage a 2-0 relatively comfortable game. Not over the top, a cagey first half. We'll get one goal and then we'll get a second.
5-0 Wimbledon Tuesday.
Kids. Oh, Jesus.
You know, one thing we forgot to say, earlier about when we played Weymouth in the cup, first leg. First round, sorry. Well, what is it? Not first
Great
leg.
Great Pies?
No. Their goalkeeper, right? Zaki, used to be at us, right?
Yes, he did.
We know he's a midget, right?
Yes, we know.
He's small.
We do know that.
But why did no one tell us to put crosses in? Batter the crosses. We know he can't come for crosses because he didn't when he was with us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, with the conditions that you were playing in, we didn't put any test on him at all.
It's because I've listened to you talking about short corners. That's the problem. You are exactly the problem, mate. We spoke about it earlier. You're giving us away. And now what happens is we play Mickey Mouse short corners rather than getting it into the box with a bloke on work experience in goal.
We're going to smash them. 5-0. See you later. 3-0 half time. Everyone's happy. Everyone's happy. Eating their my pies. Bosh, 5-0. Chesterfield, you're next. See you later.
How can I argue with that?
No, nice. But yeah, I'll take a draw Saturday.
Keep the momentum, beat Weymouth, which is what we should. And then I think it'll be a pivotal game. And I think it's going to become a really big game, will be the Tranmere away game. They're good at home, biggest sort of team. Where are we at?
And if we draw against Salford and we lose against Weymouth, draw against Salford, beat Weymouth, you can kind of then go, right, if we lose against Tranmere, we've just, you know what I mean? We've been a good run.
We can relatively take the hit, but yeah. I feel like if we play well against Salford and we play well against Tranmere, I feel like we've kind of found a little bit of where we're at. Whereas the last Weymouth game, we were woeful, like absolutely, like barely functioning. Whereas I think if we can turn the corner with Salford playing well, Weymouth getting a bit of performance, I think we can stay. We're on a really good run here. And long may that continue.
I agree, Dan. And I think at the moment, the potential's there to push up the league table and get in the second round of the FA Cup. So,
I cannot believe I've mentioned the word potential and you're ribbing me for it.
I think we know
absolutely.
I think we know what the name of this episode will be called. But yeah,
the potential to be a potential podcast.
Don't like the word, but yeah, fair play to you, Dan. Anyway, Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you again about all things Wimbledon.
I've had an absolutely adequate time.
And I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Season Master, and you can catch them at seasonmaster.com, secondary glazing and bifold. And great family business, sponsor the club.
Get in contact. It could potentially be in your house before Christmas.
We don't want to say that in case they can't.
That's why the word potential was used. It's exactly its form.
Expectations. Potential. But right. Been a pleasure, Dan. Come on, you Dons.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.